last week we were talking about spirituality, and we were talking about the foundation. And we had to build our foundation on Christ. And so as we recap last week, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because I really want to get through this. This week we're talking about sacrifice, which is about the men. And so once we recap here and go through this, then we're going to start talking about the men. And I think you're going to be amazed at this sermon. So anyway, so we're going to recap. Number one, spirituality. And so the first thing that we learned were the three T's. And the number one, the first one was spirituality affects your talk. Listen, if you're not grounded in Christ, you're not grounded in what you should be, you're not the person that you should be, your talk will definitely be affected. Your speech will be affected. Your language, with the language that you that comes out of your mouth will be affected. And so the first thing that we looked at was your talk. Then the second thing that we looked at was your tude. And that's short for attitude. And you know, I said last week, you do what you can to make it work. And so if I wanted three T's, I had to do the tude. And my mom would always use tude. She'd go, "Oh, that child's got a tude," or whatever. And I'm going, "Man, I hated it. I did. I hated it." I mean, I'm in my mind, I'm going, "Mom, it's attitude. Just say attitude. Who cares about a tude? It doesn't even sound right. Say attitude." Now here I am, putting it up and using it. God bless you, Mom. All right, so spirituality affects your tude. And listen, if you're not right spiritually, you're not right with God, you're not going to be right. And your attitude will be affected. Your attitude, the way you talk to people, the way you treat people, the way you treat yourself will be affected. Then the next thing that we looked at was truth. Or trust, I'm sorry, was trust. So spirituality affects your trust. And if you're not right with God and you don't trust God, you're not going to trust people. It's just what it is, guys. And so those three things are detrimental to your spirituality, your foundation, and who you are in Christ. So when we looked at building a foundation, by the way, we're going to try building a house. And since I don't have enough room up here to actually build a house, I'm going to try and do it with pictures. And so you guys are going to have to work with me on the pictures because it's very difficult sometimes to find a good picture that you really want on the internet. And it's amazing how many are out there, but it's really amazing how many you can't use. And so we're going to build a house as we go through this. And this week we're going to talk about sacrifice. And sacrifice, we're talking about the men. This is all about the men. And so ladies, before you get too anxious and too excited with the elbow to go, "Uh-huh, see that, see that, see that," remember, I'm going to talk about you next week. And so just be very careful because he's got a bigger elbow and it could hurt a little bit more. No, I'm kidding. We don't want anybody getting hurt in here. Take it home when you fight. But the men, what are the men's place in this marriage, in this relationship? In for those of you who are not married, but you're getting ready to go into marriage, what's your position? What is your place? Hopefully today when we're done, you will completely understand your role in a relationship. But understand this, if you don't fulfill your role, you're going to have a bad relationship. It's fact. And you go, "Well, I'll do it my way." Well, you can try reinventing the wheel, but I think God's got the most excellent patent on it that you're going to find anywhere. And if you don't want to take His word for it, then you will die in yours. Okay? It's just kind of how it is. And so before we start this, I am going to show a video of a man that loves his wife. Are we ready with the video? Go ahead and play the video.
I mean, she's a beautiful woman. I mean, she is gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
And she's smart. I mean, I'm not just talking like Copernicus smart. I'm talking like she's like Einstein smart.
Yeah.
And I am probably one of the most blessed men on this earth because of her, because of that lady. I am truly blessed.
Yep.
Hear me, world. I am married to the most gorgeous girl on on this great planet that God ever made, and I love her, I love her, I love her.
So have you told her lately?
Huh?
Your wife, have you told her lately?
Hello, have you not been listening to a single word I've been saying?
Yeah, I've told her.
She knows.
How?
I let her marry me, didn't I?
What a lucky lady she is.
Tell me about it.
Some of you have that relationship, and that may be why you're laughing. Honey, you don't tell me you love me anymore.
Well, I told you when we got married, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know.
That's not a good recipe for marriage, okay? It just doesn't work that way. And so as we work through this, guys, you're going to have to look at yourself. I mean, I'm challenging you men to really look at yourself today. If you are in a relationship, getting ready to go in a relationship, if you're married, if you're thinking about getting married, you need to look at your life today. You need to examine yourself. Where do I line up in God's Word? Where do I line up in what I'm doing in my actions in this relationship according to God's Word? Because if you don't line up with God, it is inevitable you're going to have heartbreak. You're going to have struggles. It is what it is, and it's going to happen. So as we go through this, I want you to look at this with me. All right. So the first thing you're going to ask yourself is, what kind of man am I? What kind of man am I to be? What should I be? Who should I be? How should I be? I mean, there's so many questions because, let's face it, guys, when we think of our wives and as beautiful as they are and as lovely as they are and as loving as they are and all this about them, it's tough to understand women. I mean, let's just be honest, you know. I'm reminded of the man that he did so good. Man, he was more righteous than Job and Abraham and Moses and Noah and all of them put together. And so God says, because you have done so well, because you have been pure and righteous before me, I am going to grant you whatever you want. You got one thing that you can ask for, and I will give it to you. And God, of course, knowing that he was righteous, he would ask according to God's will, and he wouldn't ask a sinful thing. And so God exposes it to the man. And the man says, well, I'll tell you what I'd really like, God. Wow, man, you know, I love riding my motorcycle, and I love driving my convertible with the top down. And God, can you put a highway running from here to Hawaii so I can just drive there anytime I want? That, God, that would be all I'd want. And God said, well, do you realize how deep the ocean is and how many pillars it's going to take and how much concrete it's going to take? I mean, that's really an astronomical thing that you're asking for. And, I mean, I'm God and I can do anything, but I don't know that you realize all that goes into putting a road from here to Hawaii. So, can you think of anything else you'd like? And the man says, well, you know, there's one other thing, God. Help me to understand women. And God looked at the man and said, do you want that a single lane or a double lane going to Hawaii? Because to understand women can be difficult. You guys are lovely. I think that if God made or created anything more precious, valuable, and better than women, he kept it for himself. I really believe that. So ladies, don't get offended sitting in this chair. I'm going to have fun with you, but you can be difficult. Men can't. We're not difficult. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we can both be difficult, but it, sometimes it's difficult to understand what a woman wants. And then and being men, you know, we're goal oriented. I talked last week that we have waffle brains, and you ladies have spaghetti brains. And that's not a negative thing. It just means that we take everything and we compartmentalize it. We get it done. We're goal oriented. Boom, boom, boom. Done, 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 done. Okay. And you ladies, hey, you can multitask better than us. I'll give it to you. You guys are like interweaved and woven, and man, you hear the dinger go off for dinner, and the baby needs changed, and the vacuum needs run, and man, you can do all this at the same time and remind the men of what they need to do. I mean, it is amazing what you ladies can do all at once. And so for the man, we go, man, where do I fit into this? How do I make this marriage work? Because also we live in a society where women are dominating now. And I'm not trying to be ugly, and ladies, I'm not trying to diminish your role, but you are not to lead the man. It is just not set up that way. And we find in Colossians, when we'll get there, that God is the lead, and then it's man, and then it's women. Remember, and I've said this before, it's God, man, woman, children, and then you got the dog, and then you got the amoeba, and then you have cats somewhere down here. And so, it's kind of just how it works. And we have to understand it. We have to follow God and understand how He wants. So, with that in mind, the first thing that we're going to look at is our foundation. When we talked about the foundation, now we're going to build walls. And as we build walls, and you like my little house? And so as we build walls, these walls have to connect to really do their job. Now when you look at a wall, and you take, let's just take and pretend that our building is 6x6, or 8x8, or 10x10, or 20x20, I don't care what size you put on it, but make it square. And understand that the walls are equal. They are equal. They are equal in what they do, but there's two walls that take on more load than the other two walls. And so if we look at this house right here, you have the side walls over here, and they will carry the bigger burden of the load. And we're going to look at that and say that that's men. Why? Because God put men over the house. God's holding man responsible for the house's spiritual condition. God's holding man responsible for the financial. God's holding, unless, of course, ladies can't control their shopping, but we know none of you ladies in here have a problem with that. And then, God holds man accountable. So if we look at the house, we're going to say that the end walls, because the brunt of the weight is going to be carried on the end walls. But the front walls and the back walls are equally as important, and we'll pretend that those are the ladies, and we'll talk about you next week. But understand that the wall is equal. The equal in what it does, except for some walls carry just a little extra weight, and I think God designed it that way because He designed the home that way, because He designed the man to lead the home. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." And so as we unfold that, guys, see, when I said it's God, man, women, some of you in your heart may have went, "I don't like you already." And that's okay, but now you got to tell God you don't like Him. You know, I had a man attack me because I spoke out against something that the Bible clearly speaks against, and then all of a sudden I was called a hate monger, I was called, I'm just spreading the hate, and so on and so forth. And so I read the verses out of the Bible, because this person said they were a Christian. And I said, "Now, what I'm reading you is of God. And you believe in God? Yep. You believe the Bible's true? Yep. Then what you need to do is you need to tell God that He's full of hate. Because I just told you what He said. And you're attacking me. Why don't you attack God?" So, ladies, if you're in here, or anybody's in here going, "I don't like that lineup," then you talk to God about it. See, I'm just a messenger. You like how I got out of all that? I am a blameless man standing up here before you. Listen, both have roles, but both are equal, but they're different. All right, the first thing that a man must learn, because if I don't get it rolling with this, I'm not going to get done. The first thing that a man must learn is to lead. Many men go, "I'm leading my household. Daggummit, I told you I'm leading my household." And I go, "Whoa, wait a minute. Are you leading it or are you commanding it?" Because there's a huge difference between leading your household and being that tyrant and commanding and demanding your household. There's a big difference. There's a big difference of walking into your house going, "Honey, I'm home. I want dinner. Kids, why aren't you up here hugging me? I'm the man of the house. Where are you at?" and coming in and going, hey, daddy's home. And then all of a sudden they run up or they're waiting at the door because daddy's home. You get what I'm saying? And how you treat them in the house is going to determine how you're greeted at the door. It's just, guys, you have to get this. And so the question is, how am I leading? Am I leading my wife? Am I leading this relationship? Am I leading my children? And so the man must learn to lead. And I think a lot of times there's a misconception in what leadership is. Let's look at what leadership is. By the way, how many ever watched Archie Bunker? It just so happened that it came on the other day, like yesterday, I think. And I'm watching it. And just started laughing because I knew I was going to talk about Archie Bunker. He is not the example, and he should not be your role model, guys. Okay? I'm just saying he should not be your role model. If he is, and if he's your hero, there is counseling. We can schedule you in. Not a problem. Okay. So you're not to be an Archie Bunker. Look at Luke 22, 25 through 26. It says, and he said to them, the king of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. And so a benefactor is somebody who comes in, they lord their authority over, they impose their authority on somebody, and therefore they benefit because they get things back that they have demanded from. So if you have a tyrant that demands high taxes and... Okay, let's not talk about our government right now. If you have somebody, they demand taxes, then they're the benefactor because they put this pressure on you and then you give. And that's what he's talking about. He said, but listen, not so among you. Who is you? Who is he talking to? Listen, he's talking to those that know better. He's talking to the Christian. He's talking to us who say, you know what? I have the mind of Christ, not the mind of my government. And so therefore I should be different. And so what he says is, but not in verse 26, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. What he's saying here is, listen, I want you to be the servant. Men, you're not to be served. Now, you're not to be used as a doormat either. This is an equal relationship. Remember, ladies, I'm talking about you next week, but men, you got to learn how to serve. You got to learn how to surrender your pride, surrender your arrogance, surrender your position, and serve. Serve your wife. There's a book out, and if you have an ink pen, I want you to write this down. There's a book out, and the author has slipped my mind right now. I can't remember his name. Anyway, the name of the book, Sex Begins in the Kitchen. Lehman, that's it. Kevin Lehman. And here's what it's about. Some of you that are in the kitchen already, get out. Here's what it's about. The whole book is about serving. It's about serving. Men, your wives will respond and react when you become a servant. Your relationship will grow when you quit thinking about you and you start thinking about the other person. And then all of a sudden, all the things that you want come into place. It's an amazing thing. And so we see from the Word of God. Now look at Mark 10:45. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, listen, Jesus came not to be served. We're talking about God. We are talking about God in the flesh who surrendered his position, surrendered his power, surrendered everything that he had to come down on earth and to serve you and me. Isn't that amazing? I'm in awe when I think about that, because then we can go, yeah, well, you don't know my house. Jesus says, I don't care to know your house. I want you to know me. And if you know me, then I'll know your house, because your house will be the way I want it to be. Which is a benefit to the entire household. And so we see that Jesus says, look, I didn't come to be served, but I surrendered everything to be a servant. And men, I'm telling you, to be a servant in your home will change your home around. It will absolutely change your home. It will change your woman's heart.
And you go, "Hey, Pastor, you don't know my woman." I'm telling you, it will change her heart. And we're going to get on that here in just a little bit. Three ways to lead. Number one, we must lead with direction. We must lead with direction. Taking leadership from God and being ready to follow Him. When we get God's direction and then we live that direction out, man, we are spot on with what we should be doing. And so we should lead, we must lead with direction. And men, have you realized that you can't fix everything? Anybody here realize they can't fix everything? I mean, some of us are good, I know, but we can't fix everything. Especially when it comes to somebody else. Do you realize that even God gave us free will? And so even God cannot get in there and force somebody to do what they don't want to do. And we think we can? And you go, "I don't agree with that, Pastor." Okay, now let me say this. God can put things in place that will help you to see it His way. looking at Jonah, for example, and Paul and some others. But God gave you free will to choose. To choose Him or not to choose Him. But He cannot. He cannot. Just because of who He is and the way He has set all this up. He cannot force you to love Him. If He could, I mean, I'm sure he has the power, but because of the way He set it up, He won't. And so God can fix and take care of everything, but a heart that's contrary to Him. And He can put things in the path to help you change your heart, and you can cast it aside, but God will not get in there and go, "Nope, I'm going to turn you around right now, and you're going to love me." He won't do that. Guys, we can't fix everything, and we can't make our wives love us by commanding us. But we can by serving them. We can by giving direction. We can by leading the way God says to lead, not the way we expect it to be led. I was talking with a gentleman this past week, and we were talking about husband and wife and relationship, and we were talking about the household and how he needed to make some adjustments in the household. And as I was talking to him, God was smoting me. "Don't you listen to what you preach?" And so by the time we got done with the conversation, I went home and I talked to my wife, and I had to apologize to my wife. Because there are times where I have said things that I just watched her, and this is our third point, I'm just jumping ahead, where I've watched her smile because of what she did, and I've said some things because I was thinking of only of me, and I watched that smile just wilt away. And I knew that I crushed my wife. I knew it. And then I just let it go. Walk away. And by the way, guys, it may not be a physical blow because words are crushing. They're crushing. And I knew that I crushed my wife. And so after I got done telling another man how God expects us to run our home, I had to go to my home and make it right. You know, and even if it's not big or abusive, it was wrong. And we got to take care of it. We have to lead with direction. We have to be ready to follow God when He guides us and He directs us, because we can't fix everything. Number two, we must lead with protection. We must lead with protection. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, because we're going to be in here, and we're going to break this one down. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 22. And I'm going to read this, and then we're just going to stop, and we're going to look at a couple things here. Verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Well, that sums up this whole thing. Let's be done. 23, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let's stop right there. When we're talking about protection, it says we must lead with protection. Look in verse 23. Verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Okay? That's a rescue. That is a rescue. And so when we're talking about protection, guys, we need to be ready to rescue our home. We need to be ready to rescue our wife. We need to be ready to rescue our family. We need to be ready to rescue. And rescuing does not mean that we are dominant. Rescuing means that we go in with humility and grace and the love of God to rescue. And so, guys, we first thing we need to do when we're talking about protection is rescue. Look here in verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now, this is huge because now we're talking physical. We're talking the physical side of what Christ did. He gave himself for her. Guys, we have to give ourselves. We have to give ourselves over to God. We have to give ourselves over to our spouse. This isn't a positional game that we play in the house. Man, we surrender to each other. We love each other. Christ set the example. He says, "Man, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church." Husbands, don't raise your hand. How many of you are willing to die for your spouse? And some of you are going to sit there and in your heart, you're going to be, "Why should I die for her?" Immediately, you have a heart problem. See, guys, it's not about us. It's not about what we want or what we think we should have. Because in all reality, our wife is who we've made her to be. And again, I'm jumping ahead. Man, I want to tie it all in and I can't because I get lost in my notes. Number three, we must lead with provision. We must lead with provision. Don't be lazy. Now, there's a difference if you with this economy, you're unemployed, you're looking for a job, you want a job, you're out there, you're pounding the pavement, you're trying to do what you can do. There's a difference there. But what I'm talking about is some of these men who are just flat out lazy. They're just lazy. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy 5:8 says this about that kind of person. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever or an infidel." You have to provide for your household. If you don't provide for your household, personally, as a man, and it's because you're lazy, you need your bottom whooped by a grown man. And then God, or God and then the grown man, but you need whooped. Don't be lazy, man. Provide for your household. Then the second thing, a man must learn to love. You know, as I'm learning and reading and growing and talking, I am realizing that our generation of men really does not know how to love. Because our fathers didn't know how to show love. Because their fathers didn't show them love. Because if you notice, everything that went down the path, man, it was, don't hug. You didn't hug. As a matter of fact, today, now, more people hug today, I believe, than what they did when I was a kid. And probably when some of you older than me were a kid. And I'm going to tell you, we need hugs. Men, we need hugs just as well as the women need hugs and the children need hugs. Man, you got to hug one another and it's got to be genuine and you love on them. And so, man, the first thing is, though, that I've learned is men do not know how to love. The question comes up, oh, they love in their heart. Like they say, "I love my child." And you do. But as I'm going through all of this and doing all the reading, and I dealt with one person, their response was, "What does it look like? I mean, what does it look like to love?" That's what I was asked. What does it look like to love? Because I said, look, man, you need to start showing love. Show the love you have in your heart. Well, what does that look like? And for just a moment, it kind of took my breath away because I thought to myself, what do you mean, what does it look like? But then when I had to explain it, now I'm thinking, because, you know, my dad never showed love. I mean, his way of showing love was the 2x4. I mean, literally, he took, I was 14 years old, and he got mad at my neighbor for something or whatever, and he said something to me, and I'll be honest, my attitude wasn't right. My tude was just a little out of whack, and so he had, he was putting an addition on the house. He had an 8-foot 2x4 in his hand. And I was 14 years old, and when I answered the way he didn't appreciate, he broke the board over my back, literally. Man, I hit the ground, but then in my mind I thought, dude, I'm not going to stay here. And I jumped back to my feet and looked him dead in the eye and told him to do it again. And he did. So, learn, men. Sometimes you're better off to stay down and go, I'll take this one and my pride with me. But listen, how do you love? That's a big question. And we're going to try and learn today. The word for love is agape. And agape literally means to direct the will towards, to find joy in, and to love unconditionally. Jesus Christ, God Himself, loved us with an agape love. There's an agape love and a phileo love. The phileo love is brotherly love. That's where Philadelphia gets its name from. And then you have an erotica love. Of course, you obviously not difficult to pick up on what that is. And so you have three different types of love. Now, in the English language, we just say love. Love's love. Right? I love you. I look at my wife and I say, honey, I love you. And I look at Stan and I go, I love you. I guarantee you that's different. You know what I'm saying? It's the difference between agape love and the phileo, the brotherly love. There's a huge difference there. And so, but in our language, you know, love's just love, and we've abused the word. We've neglected the word. We've forgotten the word. We don't teach the word. We don't even know the word. It's just a good word to throw out there because it either fills the void, fills the gap, fills the uneasiness, lies, or it's something we should say. But what is love? Man, we need to love, and we need to have the agape love for our spouse. That is the same type of love that God has for us, is that deep, unconditional love. And by the way, if you agape your wife, men, she will love you back unconditionally. Yes, you know what I'm saying. Because some of you are going, it's been a long time, Pastor. How long has it been since you agape'd your wife so that she can take care of your needs? Because if you agape her, she will respond with the physical. The problem is, we want it, and we don't know how to bring our wife to it. You know, sometimes love looks like, well, there's three, man, I'm jumping ahead. You guys got to fill in the blanks. All right, you got to fill in the blanks. Listen, and by the way, this love, this agape love, it only happens when we divorce ourselves from ourselves. When we divorce ourselves from ourselves. In other words, when you relinquish everything you want because you're finally thinking about her. We have to divorce ourselves from ourselves. And so we have to do three things. Love. There's three things that we have to look at. Number one, we have to initiate love. Initiate love. And that's by saying, I love you. Initiate it. Go up to them. Offer a hug. Initiate it. By the way, offer a hug with no extra activity in the hug. Just give a hug. Yeah. You guys see how I'm trying to work through this? I mean, just give a hug. Just say, I love you. Just initiate love. The second thing is communicate love. Communicate love. Now look, that could be saying I love you. That could be giving gifts. That could be in words. That could be in kindness, in deed. Guys, I'm going to tell you what I love you looks like to women. This is just a couple things. Doing the dishes. Somebody's enjoying what I'm saying. Thank you. Do the dishes. That screams, I love you. Because she comes out and goes, who could have done this? And you're going with prune hands going. And all she hears is, I love you. Or, run the vacuum cleaner. Some of you are going, I ain't touching it. Run the vacuum cleaner. The whole time that you're doing this, by the way, there's nothing wrong with running a vacuum cleaner. You know, the whole time she sees you doing it, she's going, he loves me. Now, the first time she sees it, she might be thinking, about time that sap did something. But if you stay consistent with it, then she's going to know you're doing it because you love her. Not because, well, he thinks tonight's it, he is sorry and badly mistaken. No, no, no. Stay consistent. Show love. That's what love is, by the way. It's just a consistent, I love you. It doesn't stop. And so sometimes love looks like the way you communicate it is doing the dishes, running the vacuum, doing the laundry. Now, you may only have to do the laundry once, guys. And she'll say, I love you too, honey, but don't ever do the laundry again. So that's an easy out, just to say. All right. Then the third thing is demonstrate love. Demonstrate love. And you go, what do you mean demonstrate love? Isn't that communicating? Isn't that when I demonstrate it by doing dishes and vacuuming? Colossians 3:19 says this. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Do not be bitter toward them. And you go, what? Yeah, you know, in verse 25 it says that Christ gave himself for her. And that literally means to hand oneself over. And then some of you are going to go, and I'm going to go here, guys, and so you can hate me later. Some of you are going to go, love my wife. I'm going hunting. I'm out of here. And then she's like, you don't love me. All you want to do is shoot the deer and the squirrels. And what did they ever do to you? And then you go, okay. If I don't stay home now, I can't live here later. All right, so I'm going to stay here now. And then you get bitter at her. Yeah, I could be out hunting if she'd have just controlled her stinking emotions, man. What a woman. And we start getting bitter. That's what we're talking about here. And guys, your wife should come before the deer and the antelope. I'm trying not to look at any of the men in the eyes here while I'm talking about hunting, because they're going to go home, and as they're sharpening their knives and loading their guns, they're going to go, this one's for the pastor. And so I'm not even going to look at you. Let's move on. But don't be bitter toward them, guys. And by the way, this takes effort and energy to obtain this relationship that I'm talking about. It takes you setting back your own wishes and desires to fulfill your wife's. And if you're not fulfilling your wife's, guys, what you're doing is you're building a divide. You're either filling the divide or you're building the divide. And so you have to love. And love is by initiating it, saying I love you, is communicating it in so many different ways. Find out her love language, is demonstrating it. And you know, sometimes guys go, I don't know what else to do. Pick up a stinking book and read it. Sorry, that's pastors. Because I'm just thinking there's so much out there that if we would just learn, take the time to learn. Well, I ain't got time to learn. You got time to sit in a courtroom for divorce? It's one or the other, buddy. All right, that's pastor in the flesh. Okay, number three. A man must learn to lift. A man must learn to lift. And guys, this right here, I was sharing with you earlier about my wife. And how I said some things. And you know, when we say it, sometimes we don't really say it with the intentions of hurting. You know, it just comes out. And for me, as some of you may have realized, I'm an intense guy. I'm passionate. I am passionate about everything. I do everything full bore with passion. It's black and white, and it's just, that's life. And I'm trying to tame this craziness in my head. And I realize that when I get full of me, I don't talk to my wife right. And so, and by the way, I don't cuss. Don't think it's anything like that, because it's not. It may be tone, body language, or it just might be the way it's said. You know, it just might be the words that I've chosen that are wrong. And so you may not be cussing at your wife, because I don't do that. But if you're not choosing to communicate with her in a proper way, you're going to hurt her. And I have three women in my house. Oh, God, come quickly. I love all three of them dearly. And I would even give my life for them. And I don't just say that. I mean it. And I believe with all my heart I'd give my life for Christ as well. But the other day, I went into the basement, is where I keep them chained up. And I go into the house and I said, I needed something done. And you know, I didn't even think. I didn't. And sometimes men go through this too. We just don't think, and we're so goal driven and so goal oriented that it's just, do it. I mean, I've been self-employed for 20 years, and it's just, man, look, I'm goal-oriented. I know what needs to be done. I know how to do it and just get it done. And you know what? If you're still doing it. It's not done yet. We get lost in that, men. How many men are kind of like that? Yeah, yeah, okay, thank you. And so then I come down, and here's the thing. My wife is an incredibly hard worker, and she's very thorough. If I would slow down and take some lessons from her, I could probably build a big church and preach really well. But my wife is very thorough. Is who she is. Is how she is. Is how she operates. Is how she functions. And for me, I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. All right. How many times has somebody come to you and they go to talk to you, and they start out over here, and we're going to end up here. And as I give them about 30 seconds, when I realize that they're not getting here none too soon, I don't care about all of this. Get it? Bring me to here. That's all I care about. Give me the bottom line. What do I got to do? How do I got to deal with it? Thank you. Now, my wife isn't like that. My wife's got to drive around the block 5 times before she parks in the driveway. But a lot of women are like that. Some of you are going, I don't like, what are you talking about your wife? Hold on. This is my fault. I'll get to that point. And so what I did was I just cut her off. Because I have my agenda and you're getting too slow. And man, I watched my wife go from smiley face, sparkle in the eye, look what I did, to... And I just watched it. And then I didn't do anything about it. Because I'm still focused. I'm still on my goal. I'm still I'm a man and I got things to do, and you'll get over it. Just deal with it. And I strolled out. And then the next day, I think it was the next day, maybe 2 days later, God said, I'll stroll with you, boy. And he beat me up. And I went home and I apologized to my wife, because I realized that I'm the one that deflated her, and I'm the one that damaged her that day. I'm the one that took the wind out of her sails. I'm the one that talked to her the way I shouldn't have talked to her. And guys, we need to learn to lift our wives up. Because when we lift them up, man, we build them up in Christ. We encourage them. We make them full in Christ. And in turn, they'll do what for us? They'll respect us. And you know what they'll do? They'll lift us up. And they'll appreciate us. And they'll make us full in Christ. Because we, if we are at odds with our spouse, and the Bible says we are one, and if we are at odds with our spouse, then we are divided. And it's like cutting your heart in half. You can't survive that way. And you say, well, I'll just go and I'll go somewhere else. And I'll get a better woman. You're going to take all the baggage over there, and the only reason she's going to be better is because you did for her what you didn't do for your first one. And if you would stop and do for your first one, the one you have now, you won't look anywhere else for another one, because she will be everything you want her to be. Because you'll be everything she wants you to be, because both of you are everything God wants you to be. Because that's the key. You be what God wants you to be, you'll be the perfect spouse. That's just a fact. If your marriage isn't right, somebody's not right with God. If your relationship isn't right, somebody's not right with God. Then I put this down. And I actually heard this about 4 years ago when I did a wedding. And it was a joint wedding. I was working with another pastor. And he and I were tag-teaming the wedding. And he said this. He said, you know what my dad told me? And I said, what's that? And he said, my dad told me that the woman you marry is a direct result of her father. The woman she becomes is a direct result of you. Did you get that? The woman you marry is a direct result of her father. The woman she becomes is a direct result of you. Because it's all how you treat her. And how you love her. And as a father, I got to back up with my daughters every now and then. Because I'm a hard guy, man. I just boom, 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 and then they look at me, and all of a sudden I see the joy leave their eyes, and I go, oh, I did it again. And I got to back up and punt. And sometimes I got to ask for forgiveness. But guys, I'd so much rather do that than to lose the hugs at the door. To lose the I love yous. I'd much rather say, Daddy was an idiot. Your hubby was a jerk. Will you forgive me? Because I want my hugs. I want my wife. And I want my daughters. And I don't want to lose any of them to another jerk or to the world. And so we have to lift them up. And then I wrote this down. Your marriage will determine all the relationships in the house. Your marriage will determine all the relationships in the house. If your marriage is not right with your wife, with your spouse, husband, wife, whatever, if that is not right, that will bleed over into every person in the house. And if it's right, it'll build everyone up and you will have a really nice, unified, God-fearing house. If it's not right, and you're a hypocrite, and you are nasty, and by the way, wives, I've learned this too, man, women can be just as vulgar and just as nasty and just as ugly as men. Make no mistake about it, man, they're not called cats for no reason. They got them claws, and they can get ugly. That's just a joke there. But it takes both of you, and both of you have to be right. And your marriage will determine all the relationships in the house. Proverbs 31:28 says this. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. The wife needs some praise too, men. Even if they're stay-at-home moms, because they work. They earn it. Because what they're doing saves you a whole lot, and they're keeping your house right, and God blesses that. And I want you to know that no matter what, whether she, no matter what, you need to praise your wife. And your children will call her blessed, and your household will be solid. How easy this is to accomplish is 100% dependent upon your relationship with Christ and the foundation that you built in Him. I want everyone to stand. I'm not going to take a long time. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I didn't talk about salvation this morning because I was talking about relationship between the husband and the wife. But you know, the scripture that we read in Ephesians talks about Christ and the church. That's really what it's about. And how the church is His bride. But you can only be His bride if you know Him as your Savior. And you can only go to heaven if you know Him as your Savior. And so if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that you will not go to heaven and you're not a bride of Christ. And it's going to be very, very difficult for you to build a foundation on the Word of God when you don't trust the God of the Word. And so if you're here today and you wish to surrender your life to Christ, I don't know what God's done in your heart and how long He's been working on your heart, but I do know this, that without Him, you only succeed so far. And so if you're here today and you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, then you repeat after me quietly in your heart, "Dear Lord Jesus, I believe, Jesus, that You died on the cross for my sins. And today, right now, the best I know how, I ask You to come into my heart, forgive me of those sins, make me whole, that I may have eternal life with You."